Welcome again to our continued study in the series of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. The time of the divided monarchy that appeared because of the sins of Solomon. And God said, you know, at the end of his reign, he said, I am going to divide the kingdom into two parts because of your sinfulness. And so the two kingdoms of Judah to the south and Israel, the 10 northern tribes to the north, we have therefore the time of what we term in history the divided monarchy. And we have been studying some of the kings, and now we're coming to a period that we are calling the time of reviving or prosperity. There were cycles, of course, in the history of the divided monarchy, and this particular cycle is the time of reviving. And to give us a background, you know, we were speaking of the time of wrong alliances before, Jehoshaphat, the righteous king, making a wrong alliance, and he made a wrong alliance with Ahab. Consequences that his son married the daughter of Ahab, and she corrupted the kingdom of Judah. Well, after the death of her son, Ahaziah, she reigned for 6 years and, utterly filled the land with idols. And she thought that she had destroyed the whole of the royal seed. But God always has a remnant. A remnant, a righteous remnant, a holy remnant, a pure remnant. And this was headed by the high priest, Jehoiada. And his wife was indeed the sister of Ahaziah. And you know, there was a little baby by the name of Joash. And Jehoiada's wife took this little baby and hid him. He was of the royal seed. His name was Joash. And as we've said before, Athaliah reigned for 6 years. And the little boy had been taken at the age of one by Jehoiada's wife, hidden away. And now, at the age of seven, Jehoiada, his spirit stirred up by God, gathers the faithful captains of Israel and says, I am going to introduce to you the true king of Judah. And he brought forth this little boy to the temple, age of seven, and everybody shouted, God save the king. That, incidentally, is the theme of the national anthem of the United Kingdom. God save the king. God save the king. And all the people shouted, God save the king. And there was great rejoicing as they put a little crown upon the head of this little boy of 7 years of age. Athaliah, hearing the noise, comes running down and looks and cries out, treason, treason. The high priest gives the commandment to the captains, take her out. Slay her not in the temple of God, lest it pollute the temple, but slay her at the horse's gate. And there, like her mother, Jezebel, she was slain, you know, by the people. And, you know, her bones and her blood were scattered all over the pathway there. Well, now we have this little boy. Well, this little boy, Joash, grows up under the tutelage of the high priest. See? But we have entitled his reign as the one who could not stand alone. One who could not stand alone. And the rationale for that little title is this. As long as the high priest Jehoiada lived, and Joash was under his tutelage, Joash walked in the ways of God. You know, so many people, you know, when they're with godly influence, will walk righteously, and you think, oh, they're righteous. But as soon as that influence changes, then their true character is revealed. Well, he starts off his reign after a few years with a commandment to repair the temple. And the temple is repaired, it's cleansed from all its idolatry. But then Jehoiada, who lived to about 120 years of age, he dies. And now Joash is, as it were, all alone. And the princes who had been under the influence of the queen, previous queen Athaliah, now come to the king and say, look, let's go back to the old ways. Let's go back into idolatry and so forth. And the king hearkened to them. And the result was the whole kingdom was turned back into the ways of the house of Ahab, the ways of Israel. Well, God raises up a prophet by the name of Zechariah. And Zechariah, who's the son of Jehoiada, rebukes the king. Rebukes the king. And Joash gives the order to stone him to death. And it said of him that he remembered not the kindness of Jehoiada. Well, there we are. You see, as long as he was under the influence of the godly, he did well. And so many people, when they walk with the godly, they appear to be righteous. But left alone, their true character, their true nature is revealed. And regretfully, Joash revealed his true character. His true character. And his true character was that he was sinful. Well, the end of Joash was this, that his own servants took him and slew him. Oh, what a miserable end for a man who could have been such a glowing leader for righteousness. And so there again, we have an awesome warning. You know, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now we come to his successor, his son. And regretfully, we don't have a good title for him. We've entitled him the King Who Turned Away. It's interesting, this king. And we learn lessons, you see, from the wicked as well as from the righteous. You know, the wicked person's life fills us with awesome warnings. You know, don't do that. Don't walk in their ways. The righteous, you know, are like a trumpet. You know, this is the way to walk. But we learn from both. And we learn an awesome lesson from this new king, Amaziah. And we're told that at the beginning, he started well. He did that was right in the sight of the Lord. But then this little phrase is added. And this little phrase is this: but not with a perfect heart. Not with a perfect heart. In other words, not wholehearted. Yes, he walked in the ways of God to start with, but not wholeheartedly. And oh, how important it is, you know, to give our heart completely to the Lord, that he can create in us a pure heart, a clean heart, so that our heart is not divided. You know, King David prayed this prayer. He said, "Oh Lord, unite my heart to fear thy name." And that's what we want. You know, a perfect heart. Our whole heart united to fear God, that we will not walk in the ways of the unrighteous. There will not be a mixture in our life. Well, with Amaziah, unfortunately, you know, there was this mixture. And this mixture is revealed in a very singular fashion. Very singular fashion. And it starts off with God giving him an awesome victory over Edom. He had a great victory, a tremendous victory. And, his heart was lifted up with joy. But you know, the extraordinary thing about Amaziah, you see, this is the heart that's not perfect, that's not whole with God. You see, he attributed this victory to God, but he comes back, and this is incredible, he comes back with the gods of the Edomites. Now, he has won this great victory, and surely he has seen that the gods of the Edomites could not stand before the true and living God. Yet, he sees all these little gods of terracotta and wood, perhaps stone, and he brings them back. These gods that could not stand against the true and living God, Amaziah brings them back into the land of Israel, and he starts to worship them. And the result was that he's rebuked by the prophet, but he will not listen. And then he says to the prophet, "Who made you a counselor to me?" And he would not listen. And the prophet says, "Well, I know that because you will not listen to the voice of God, God is intent on destroying you." And here is another lesson that we've got to be very careful of. You know, God can speak to us, but it depends on our heart whether or not we are going to listen to God. You see, God can say, "Well, this is what you should do." But Amaziah wouldn't listen. And the prophet said, "Well, because you will not listen, then we know that God has the intention of destroying you." And we've got to watch this heart of ours. Oh God, give me a heart that's obedient, a heart that will listen, a heart that will walk in your ways. And when you say, "Do this," I will do it. See, it's God who gives us such a heart. Well, the result was that afterwards his own servants formed a conspiracy against him and killed him. It's amazing how God raises up people to slay the wicked. Now then, he had a son who was a very wonderful man. His name was Uzziah. But regretfully, we've had to give him the title of the presumptuous king. Now then, let us look at the picture of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. They were quite impoverished at this time because of the wickedness of their kings. And God now raises up two kings, Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam the second, king of Israel. And God, in his mercy, blesses both kings and allows them to bring back all the cities of Judah and Israel, respectively, that have been taken by the enemy because of their past sinfulness. And God allows them to bring this back. See, well, we're concentrating on Uzziah at the moment. And Uzziah, you see, was a mighty man. Oh, he was a husbandman. He had all cattle galore. Very rich man, but he was also a military genius. And he devised the catapult. You know, a catapult in war was, an engine of war, that's what it was called, that would take a large stone, a large rock, and propel it many hundreds of feet against the walls of the opposing city, the fortress of the opposing city, and eventually breaking that wall down, and so that the soldiers could go in and enter into the city. Well, he was a military engineer, and absolutely, God prospered Judah. He was a righteous man, and all was going very well for him. Everything seemed to be so right. But you know, pride is a terrible thing. You know, pride comes before a fall. And you know, so many people cannot live with success. And that was the trouble with Uzziah. He could not live with success. Whatever he did, God prospered him. And the problem was this. You see, he went over the boundaries. Now, God had set definite boundaries in Israel concerning the ceremonial law, concerning sacrifices and the like. And he had three parts in the temple, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The outer court, well, that was fine. People brought their offerings and the priests, you know, burnt them before the Lord. But Uzziah, now filled with pride, determines that, no, he's going ahead and he's going into the holy place. A place that was reserved for the priests. He was going over God's boundaries. And we've got to be very careful indeed that we know God's boundaries for our lives. We do not go over them. What has God purposed for me? That I must know and that I must keep. Well, Uzziah didn't do that. Uzziah said, no, I'm going into the holy place. The priests sought to stop him. He got so angry with the priests. He was the king, angry with the priests. But when he got into the holy place, leprosy broke out from his forehead. And the priests just pushed him out. And he was anxious to get out himself. The rest of his life, he spent as a leper. You know, how sad it is. How very, very sad it is, you know, to be blessed of God, become proud and presumptuous, and go beyond that which God hath ordained for us. And we've got to be careful of these things. Well, we come now to a man that I think, you know, is a very good man. Jotham. He co-reigned with his father because his father was a leper, and he had to be put away in a house by himself. And so Jotham co-reigned with his father. But, you know, Uzziah, when he died, the prophet Isaiah went into the temple. You know, here is this great man who has brought such prosperity and land back to Judah. And the whole country is looking at him as their savior, even though he's a leper. But when he died, Isaiah came into the temple, you know, with the thought of, oh, what should we do? We've just a young man on the throne. We've lost our mighty warrior. And God gave him a vision of the throne of God above the temple. And here the thought was, you know, as the cherubims are around saying, holy, 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 you know, God gives the assurance to Isaiah the prophet that in reality it is the Lord who is the King of Israel, the King of Judah, and it is he who looks after the country. And you know, we've got to take our eyes off men and say, well, a certain man was leading us, he did well, and so forth, he's gone, what should we do? No, it's the Lord who reigns over the nations of this world, and we've got to come to the place like Isaiah did, whereby we realize, yes, our leader is dead, but praise God, the King of Israel still rules. Well, we come to the last king in this series of, you know, the ones who brought prosperity, and it was Jotham. And I've given the title to this man, the King who prepared his ways before the Lord. And he was a very righteous person. And we're told concerning him when he was 25, when he started to reign, and he reigned 16 years, a goodly time for a king in those days. And we're told that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And then a very interesting phrase is added to this, and it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse 2. And I want to dwell a moment on this phrase. It says, but he entered not within the temple of the Lord. In other words, he'd learned his lesson. He saw what happened to his father, who was presumptuous, filled with pride, crossed the border of God's boundaries, and was smitten with leprosy. And this young man determined to do the will of God and not to fall into the sin of his father. You know, sometimes it's a very good thing to study your parents and see not only their good points, but their failures, and determine that you will not commit the same errors of judgment as your parents. Jotham certainly was in this category. He learned his lesson. But we're told this, he became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. God prospered him because he had walked uprightly with God. But there is something that I must add here. And it says this, however, the people did corruptly. So here is a difference between Jehoshaphat, that righteous king, and Jotham. And Jotham, you know, preserved his way through not making the errors of judgment that his father had done, or wrong alliances like Jehoshaphat. But there was a difference between the two. Jehoshaphat was a real leader. You know, not only did he prepare his way before the Lord, but he brought the nation with him. It seems that Jotham was not a strong leader. And although his life was exemplary, he did not do what a leader should do, and that is to bring the people with him. And that is a truth that we have to understand. God, speaking of Abraham, said this: he shall command his household after him. And we want to be strong leaders in that we command our children. You know, our children will make the right decisions that we have made. You know, we want to carry people with us. That is the purpose of leadership. It's not only to be right yourself, but it is to have the strength whereby we can carry people with us. And God grant that we not only be righteous, but we be strong leaders, and that we command our household, our wife, our children, to walk in the paths of righteousness. Jotham apparently could not do this. A righteous man, he avoided the errors of his forefathers, but the people still did corruptly. In other words, Jotham did not have the strength to indeed bring the people into the pathway of righteousness. And there is a solemn lesson that we must learn. Not only to be righteous, but to be leaders that bring others into the pathway of righteousness, and especially our immediate family, because that's the condition whereby God blessed Abraham, and that's a condition whereby he'll bless you too. God bless you.